The slumping economy will bring another round of layoffs at Hawker Beechcraft. Cessna now says its layoffs will reach 1,000 or more, and Boeing Commercial Airplanes will trim 4,500 positions. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 12th, 2009. We're only a week into the new year, and two major manufacturers of general aviation aircraft are already scaling back production schedules and giving notice of more impending layoffs. In November, Hawker Beechcraft laid off almost 500 employees, and Cessna announced it would cut 500 workers in Wichita and another 165 in Bend, Oregon. But a continuing downturn in the global economy is spurring further cutbacks. Wichita's KSNW-TV3 reports Hawker Beechcraft CEO Jim Schuster memoed employees on Thursday. Quote, "The general aviation market has slowed. New orders have fallen off considerably. Many existing orders have been terminated, and used inventory has increased dramatically. As a result, we're forced to substantially decrease our 2009 production levels and take the painful step of reducing our workforce accordingly. We are in the process of finalizing our plans and will notify affected employees as soon as possible. While this is a disappointing way to start 2009, I believe that making difficult decisions now and sticking to the priorities that have made our company successful will enable HBC to survive this downturn and thrive in the long term." Unquote. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton had similar news for his employees in a memo last week. Quote, "As the global economic crisis has continued to deepen, we have to further reduce the 2009 production schedule, and this will regrettably result in additional workforce reductions." Unquote. Cessna has told the Wichita Eagle that the number of layoffs is expected to reach 1,000 or more. On Friday, Boeing announced employment at its commercial airplanes business unit is expected to decline by about 4,500 positions this year. The plane maker calls it an effort, quote, "to ensure competitiveness and control costs in the face of a weakening global economy," unquote. The reduction will bring employment to about 63,500. That's roughly the level it was at the start of 2008, before the plane maker ramped up to handle a record order backlog. Since that time, Boeing's been hit by slumping new orders and the threat of cancellations of existing ones, as airlines around the world scale back plans which in hindsight now look overly ambitious. Boeing says the commercial airplanes division has begun a program to reduce overhead costs and discretionary spending. Although normal attrition and a reduction in contract labor will account for some of the job reductions, layoffs of Boeing employees will also be involved. Hardest hit will be Washington State, with most of the cuts coming in the second quarter. Affected employees will receive 60-day notices beginning in late February. Boeing will support laid-off employees with some benefits and career transition services. Airlines are also continuing to trim. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports Delta regional operator Atlantic Southeast Airlines plans to furlough 80 of its pilots effective February 8th due to capacity cutbacks throughout the Delta network. ASA will offer voluntary retirements and leaves across the board. Pilots are the only workers subject to outright furlough so far. The ASA chapter of the Airline Pilots Association predicts the furloughs will last at least a year. The union will attempt to find jobs at other airlines for the affected pilots. In related news, 170 maintenance techs in American Airlines' primary overhaul base at Kansas City International Airport will be laid off this Friday as part of American's plan to cut 1,500 jobs nationwide. Missouri's Liberty Tribune reports it could have been much worse. American originally planned to fire 600 workers at KCI. Voluntary layoffs and the recent addition of two new maintenance lines mitigated those job losses. Up next on ANN, NBAA warns Congress not to force businesses to give up their planes. The TSA gets an earful on the large aircraft security program. And the lawyers have jumped in even before the ambulance has cooled off. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 12th. I'm Paul Plack. The National Business Aviation Association warned on Friday that businesses trying to recover in the current unforgiving economic climate would be severely impacted by language in a bill to reform the Troubled Assets Relief Program, first passed by Congress last year. The proposal was introduced on Friday by Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. According to the press release issued by his office, the bill will, quote, require divestment of private aircraft or leases. NBAA President Ed Bolin warns, quote, this could devastate the small businesses that fuel and service general aviation airplanes, further harm the manufacturers who are already laying off workers and slowing assembly lines, and take away a tool from companies that need general aviation airplanes to operate to and from the thousands of U.S. communities that have little or no scheduled airline service, unquote. You know, being a glass-half-full kind of guy, I have to wonder if this year won't become an opportunity for on-demand air taxi. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration, which has an even more chilling idea for general aviation, held the first of five planned public meetings in Atlanta last week, gathering input on its proposed large aircraft security program. A conference room at the Renaissance Concourse Hotel was standing room only as pilots, executives, and others from the aviation community expressed unanimous, strong feelings against the extension of commercial airline security procedures and regulations to general aviation. Craig Dotlow, the Northeast Regional Representative of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, set out his organization's case. Quote, AOPA is concerned with the weight threshold that's used for the basis of the regulations and provisions in the rule that outsource security oversight to a third-party auditor. AOPA does not support the NPRM as currently drafted and requests that TSA reconsider the proposed rules, focusing particularly on whether there are less costly and less intrusive ways of enhancing general aviation security, unquote. NBAA's Ed Bolin suggested the creation of a formal rulemaking committee. Quote, we believe that by working together, we can harden business aviation against attack without destroying it in the process. We deserve a dialogue about how best to do this, unquote. Ray Boyd, who owns a jet leasing company in Athens, Georgia, declined to mince words. Quote, does the TSA have their head in the sand? The whole program needs to be scrapped. It's obvious TSA does not understand general aviation, unquote. His sentiments earned him a standing ovation from the crowd. Cliff Port, identified only as a pilot, commented, quote, the imposition of this proposed regulation will, in fact, result in the terrorists' objective of crippling our free society and profoundly altering our democratic way of life, unquote. He added that the measure would cost his company $100,000 per year. Pat Epps, president of Epps Aviation at the DeKalb Peachtree Airport, said the airline-style terrorist watch list check is unneeded. Quote, we know who our passengers are. We're not letting strangers on our airplanes, unquote. He also called TSA's 260-page proposal, quote, a huge waste of time and effort. Your time could be better spent somewhere else, unquote. Although the accident investigation has just begun, the widow of a victim of last week's crash of a Sikorsky S-76 helicopter is already suing the operator, PHI. The Lafayette, Louisiana Daily Advertiser reports that Britton Boudreau, the estranged wife of the late Alan Boudreau, is proceeding with a wrongful death suit. Her attorney, William Dodd, said, quote, "All reports and information I have, the weather was not a factor. It's got to be something mechanical or it's got to be pilot error," unquote. As ANN reported, the afternoon of January 4th, the chopper crashed into swampy terrain just north of the Gulf coastline near Morgan City, Louisiana. The aircraft had taken off from Amelia about 7 minutes earlier, headed for a Shell oil platform in the Gulf. There were no radio reports of problems from the crew before the crash. Weather was reported VFR with scattered clouds at 1,000 feet and 10 miles visibility. The National Transportation Safety Board says the wreckage has been moved to Lafayette, Louisiana for detailed examination, and the cockpit recorders have been sent to NTSB facilities in Washington, D.C. for analysis. Still ahead, Cirrus pilots moving up to the SJ-50 may feel right at home. A barnstorming tour aims to bring the greatest generation home. And perhaps aliens want us to keep burning coal. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 12, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Garmin's G1000-derived cockpit, which is already a sales leader in many new Cirrus SR22s, is apparently about to debut on Cirrus's new single-engine jet, the Vision SJ-50. Since the jet program began in Duluth, there were questions about whether it would be equipped by Garmin, a resurgent and aggressive Avadyne, or the talented dark horse L3 Avionics, which built the flight deck that's been flying on the prototype. Cirrus officials won't comment officially, but a solid source we're calling Deep Snow has confirmed to ANN that not only will Garmin be the choice, but that the only prototype currently flying will be retrofitted with the system, quote, really soon now, unquote. The move provides an intuitive upgrade path for pilots moving up from the best-selling SR-22 G3 airframe, which now comes equipped with Cirrus's G1000-based perspective panel. Compared to the standard G1000 package, Perspective uses larger displays and has synthetic vision, enhanced vision, and Garmin's GFC 700 digital autopilot. Over 500 of the advance orders for the jet come from existing Cirrus piston owners moving up. A version of Perspective in the SJ-50 would make them immediately feel right at home. We'll let you know when there's an official statement. A nonprofit outfit called History Flight has embarked on its 2009 Barnstormer tour of the nation's East Coast, starting out in southern Florida and working its way to Vermont by this summer. Your tax-deductible contribution gets you a hands-on the controls aerobatic flight, ranging from 15 minutes to an hour, in your choice of a T-6 Texan or a Stearman biplane. History Flight wants to raise $90,000 for a two-year search for the remains of soldiers who were killed in action on Pacific atolls during World War II. Last year, founder Mark Noah and his team visited Tarawa Atoll, that's 2,500 miles southwest of Hawaii. His effort successfully located the graves of 139 Marines. Now he wants to return the remains of the servicemen to the U.S. for a more suitable interment. He tells the South Florida Sun Sentinel, quote, "It's not like these are graveyards that are out there with crosses on them. It's just unbelievable to think that all those people are underneath the ground there," unquote. He said the locations were not fit to be resting places of war heroes. History Flight is based at Marathon, Florida, and will be offering the rides at various Florida locations through February before moving the tour northward. And finally, some insurance agent may get a chuckle over the claim he'll get for damage done last week to a 300-foot-tall wind turbine near Conisholm, England. Each of the blades on the turbine is almost 70 feet long, and one was completely detached by something. Ecotricity Managing Director Dale Vince says, quote, "We've been crawling all over it and have sent bits off for analysis to see if we can work out what caused it. To make one of these blades fall off or to bend it takes a lot," unquote. But see, here's the thing. Local media interviewed eyewitnesses who reported seeing mysterious flashing orangey-yellow spheres and a massive ball of light with tentacles going right down to the ground on the night the turbine was damaged. Exactly, we're talking UFO reports. Bloomberg reports a possible explanation for the sightings. Newspaper journalist Emily Bell says she helped arrange a pyrotechnics display for her father's birthday party that evening, just 2 miles away from the turbine. Officially, German turbine manufacturer Enercon will say only, quote, "It was not a flying object, ice, or extreme wind gusts. There is no general defect or manufacturer's problem. All the rest is speculation," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about when slower is not safer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.